You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 491.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake. No, wait, not Cornflake. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
We have a special guest co-host today, another Kevin. This is part of our plan. We're switching to an all Kevin format.
It's the way of the podcasting future.
This is the way. Things are going to change around here. Yeah, we got Kevin Bacon coming in next week, hopefully. Probably not.
Honestly, I was, you know, I'm an ESO Network patron. I was listening to Bored Silly, and you guys referred to someone named Kevin Batchelder as the other Massachusetts Kevin, and I was like, I got to get in there and take that crown.
There are at least three of us, I suppose, who are Massachusetts podcasters, also affiliated with ESO and Dragon Con and whatnot. Yeah, Kevin Batchelder is a Dragon Con guy.
So, you know, that's my pitch to everyone listening to become a patron. The ESO Network. You could find out what I'm talking about there.
Yes, ESO Bored Silly. That's the monthly show. It's a ESO Patreon exclusive. Look at you, plugging the ESO Patreon right out of the gate. I like it.
Trying to do my bit here for you and the network.
But this is Kevin Cafferty, who's been, you've been on the show before.
I have been on the show before. I'm really excited to be back. I'm, you know, I'm bummed. I believe Cornflake could not make it this week, so... They were like, whose name in the Rolodex begins with K? So I showed up, but I'm going to do my best. I have no whatever day or anything like that, but...
There will be no national whatever day without Cornflake, of course, but she'll be back next week with another weird day to celebrate. But yeah, you were on the show, a couple months ago, something like that, to talk about music in Rhode Island.
We were talking about music in the 90s in Rhode Island clubs. Yeah, and I think like a few years before that, there was like a recording of me on a Saturday morning cartoon panel from the Aresia convention.
Yes, against your will, you were also on the Flopcast once because we played a panel that you and I were on together. That's right. So I guess technically this is your third Flopcast.
Which is actually how I know about the Flopcast. I was on it before I knew about it.
That's how most of our listeners are just unwitting guests of the show. They're like, okay, I'll listen to the show since I'm on it.
It's a bold way to get listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. Only way we can get you to listen to the show is if you're on the show. That's our whole business model. Anyway, yeah. So when we were on talking about Rhode Island stuff, music of Rhode Island back in the 90s, and then we were having a conversation not long after that, and we said we have to have Kevin on again sometime to talk about Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specifically the city of Woonsocket. And I jotted it down. I put it on my list of stuff to do on the Flopcast someday. And that day is today. You're back and we're talking Woonsocket.
Oh, and I'm very excited about this because I love Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Rhode Island in general, I think you'll agree, is a pretty ridiculous place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think Woonsocket is the most ridiculous city within ridiculous Rhode Island.
I would not argue with that. Woonsocket has come up again and again on the Flopcast. It comes up a lot. And I don't think Cornflake's ever even been to Woonsocket, but she's heard me yammering on and on about it many times.
It's interesting because I feel like there are some places that you can describe that are sort of like Woonsocket, but never quite. Like, I think Lowell has a bit of Woonsocket in it, but...
Oh, absolutely.
Lowell doesn't have as many French Canadians and weird sayings.
Yeah, Lowell is Lowell, Massachusetts. It's a mill town, as is Woonsocket. So, you know, going back to the Industrial Revolution, it was a booming mill town, textiles and whatnot. And then it fell apart as the decades rolled along, and it's just all these, you know, old crumbling brick buildings where once bustling factories were. And Woonsocket has a similar vibe, certainly.
Yes. One time I was in Japan visiting my friends Matt and Yoshimi, and Matt said to me, "Do you want to visit the Woonsocket of Tokyo?" And I said, I absolutely do. And we went there, and sure enough, it was the Woonsocket of Tokyo.
It was all French, Canadian, Japanese.
Pretty much. They were there were a lot of thrift stores. There were a lot of industrial buildings. And
I went to Texas just once in my life, I believe. And the city that I was visiting, it was described to me as if you picked up Woonsocket and dropped it in the middle of the desert.
Someone really needs to create a guidebook of the Woonsockets around the world.
And there's at least one other actual Woonsocket out there. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
There is, I think it's North Dakota, if I'm remembering correctly. There is a Woonsocket, North Dakota. And it's because a guy from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, moved out there and started his own new Woonsocket.
I wish he'd called it New Woonsocket.
But yeah, that's kind of terrifying.
Now, full disclosure, I am not from Woonsocket. I'm from kind of the next town over.
I am also Woonsocket adjacent. I never actually lived there, but I've spent a frightening amount of time there.
So many of my friends were there. I went to high school there, and I spent a lot of time in Woonsocket. I had my first kiss in Woonsocket. Wow. So, and what better place to have such a romantic thing happen to you than in the city of Woonsocket. So it's very close to my heart.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you and I have a very similar history with Woonsocket, and that we were both kind of Woonsocket adjacent, and we both went to school there in the 80s. So we have a history there.
Yeah, a history. And I, in all honesty, you know, I live up in Massachusetts now. I don't get to Woonsocket as often as I would like these days, but
I was there 2 days ago as we record. I don't get there too often either, but just by coincidence, I happened to be there very recently. See, yeah, it's just a super goofy old mill town, and it has its quirky charm, I suppose. So since we have Kevin here to discuss Woonsocket, and we thought just to structure it a bit as we do around here, we're going to talk Woonsocket in the form of the top 4.5 list.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1/2?
The top 4.5 list.
All right, so we're doing this. This is a top 4.5 list. The theme is Woonsocket. Do you know what Woonsocket means?
I don't.
Woonsocket is a Nipmuc Indian word meaning thunder mist, named after the waterfall in the middle of the city.
Oh.
Where the Blackstone River goes raging through, you know?
Love that river, and I love that waterfall, so it's great.
I may have taken, at one point, a Woonsocket history class. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Well, speaking of Woonsocket history,
yeah,
number 4 on my top 4.5 list.
Yeah, what you got?
Is the Museum of Work and Culture.
Oh, wow. You know, I know exactly where it is. I remember when it was put there. I'm going to guess sometime in the 90s or late 80s. It has not been there a million years, a relatively new museum. I've never set foot in that place.
It opened in 1997. I've been there several times. It's, I mean, basically, you know, like a lot of these old mill towns, you know, the demise of manufacturing in the United States hit these towns like pretty hard. So Woonsocket has a history in the past, you know, 40 years of being kind of economically depressed. And one of the periodic ways that they were going to like revitalize the city was like, well, we're going to use the mill space and put in this Museum of Work and Culture, which I don't think worked because I think there are a lot, you know, you get school field trips there, but I don't think outside of me, a lot of people don't go to the Museum of Work and Culture, but I love it.
It didn't become a tourist hotspot, but the Disney World of the Northeast.
You learn all. It's like if Disney World was only the Hall of Presidents, and instead of Abraham Lincoln, you had a weird mannequin lecturing you about textiles. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so we've all had that nightmare.
So I love walking through it. I love the weird, creepy dioramas with kind of mannequin people who you push a button and they talk.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they show a film about the history of French Canadians arriving in Woonsocket, because Woonsocket has or at least traditionally had like a large French Canadian population.
Oh, absolutely. Now, as I recall, the history that I was taught, which may or may not be accurate, because I don't think this came from my class, my junior high Woonsocket history class, but I heard at some point that it was largely the Irish people in that area, and they're all working in the mills. Then they all went off to war. And so the factories and the mills brought down people from Canada to take the jobs. Then everybody came back from the war, and all these new French Canadians had their jobs. And that's why the Irish and the French Canadians all hated each other. I have no idea if that's true, but that's the story I heard.
I don't know. I'm of Irish descent, and I don't have sort of any blood feuds that I'm aware of with French Canadian families.
Oh, I don't either. But I also never marched off to war and lost my job to people from Canada coming down.
That's true. I might have lost a girlfriend to someone with French Canadian heritage at some point, but it never went further than that. And the French Canadian kind of idioms that came about in Woonsocket, where people would say park the car side by each and throw the baby down the stairs, his clothes.
Yeah, just because the way that sentences are structured in the French language, people just carried that over when they would speak English. And so you got some very odd types of phrases. And certainly like the old generations, when we were kids, the old people lurking around Woonsocket were no fooling around French Canadian people, you know? And like, I remember being in restaurants and if there were like old ladies at the next table over, just chattering away, and they would just drift between French and English without even realizing what they were doing.
It's like being in Montreal without any of the culture or...
Yes! If you remove any reason to go to Montreal. But that's not the case anymore, because now they have the Museum of Work and Culture. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'd like to see Montreal open a Museum of Work and Culture.
Yeah, they don't have any museums up there. Save yourselves the trip. Take our word for it. Just come to Northern Rhode Island. It's delightful. One other weird bit of... Woonsocket history that I was taught in my Woonsocket history class, and I feel like they should make a bigger deal out of this. I was taught the first pair of sneakers was made in Woonsocket. I feel like the city should make a bigger deal out of that, if it's true, you know? Why don't they have a giant pair of sneakers for tourists to come and look at?
A sneaker festival? A museum of sneakers?
Yes. Shouldn't they really be playing this up? I feel like I'm the only one that knows about this.
Heck, Somerville, Massachusetts devotes an entire week, it seems, to inventing marshmallow fluff, and sneakers are way more important than that.
They're both very important. The two most important inventions in history.
The two bedrocks upon which this country is based.
That's right. We are largely a sneaker and fluff-based society. Let me see. Number four on my Woonsocket list. I was thinking of so many goofy old restaurants and stuff, and I guess probably one of the more historic restaurants in town, so I thought I'd throw it on the list. Number four, how about Chan's?
Oh, we have a match.
Nice. What number was Chan's at on your list?
Number two.
Nice. Strong. Yeah, Chan's. This is a Chinese restaurant, of course. Probably the first Chinese restaurant I ever went to, because back in the day, there were not millions of Chinese restaurants everywhere. And this was one of the first Chinese restaurants, I'm going to guess, in southern New England, like going back to the early 20th century, I think.
The other interesting thing about Chan's, which is sort of your kind of basic Americanized egg roll Chinese food with tiki drinks.
The food is not great. It's you know, decent, I guess.
But it somehow became like one of the destinations for jazz and blues music in, I think, not just in Rhode Island, I think in southern New England.
Oh, yeah. It's very strange. When I was a little kid, I remember it was called the House of Chan. And then at some point in the 80s, they shortened the name to just Chan's. And yeah, they had a room, like a function room, that at some point they turned into a music room. And it became, and it's like a well-known, respected jazz and blues room where very famous, important musicians come and perform.
Legitimate legends.
Oh, yeah. Even though it's a Chinese restaurant in the middle of Woonsocket.
Dizzy Gillespie performed there. Leon Redbone, the man who performed the Mr. Belvedere theme song, was at Chan's.
Leon Redbone was, and not like once, he was a regular. He'd come through like every year.
The story I heard is that owner John Chan got it to be a jazz destination because he marketed it as being on the outskirts of Boston. And if you're familiar with the geography of the area,
if you're kind of squinting at a map of North America,
that's
then sure, it's pretty close to Boston.
It's a very loose definition of the word outskirts.
It's in another state.
Even now, I think their website is something like eggrollsandjazz.com.
And besides the music, I know in the late 80s and 90s, like during the big stand-up comedy boom, that room was also a comedy club. Every Friday night, it was stand-up comedy. That was the first place I ever went to see professional stand-up comedy was Chan's.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and like all the big Boston guys would come down.
I don't know what it is with Chinese restaurants and New England comedy, because wasn't there also like a famous Chinese restaurant comedy club in Boston?
Yeah, the Ding Ho.
Yes.
That's where the Boston comedy scene of the 80s was born, at the Ding Ho.
And even after that, for you know a lot of the 2000s, above the Hong Kong, you'd have the Comedy Studio.
Yep, studio, and until just a couple of years ago, was which was kind of the premier alternative comedy space in Boston. Yes, that was in the attic of a Chinese restaurant in Harvard Square, the Hong Kong. Yeah, Ding Ho, back in the 80s, that was Stephen Wright, Bobcat Goldthwait, Paula Poundstone, Lenny Clark, Barry Crimmins. That whole scene was based out of a Chinese restaurant. And Chan's was part of that as well. Just any place with a room, they would just start booking comedy by the end of the 80s. And like the real comedy clubs, like I wasn't even old enough to get into, but Chan's didn't care. They'd let me and my stupid teenage friends in.
As long as you were ordering some chicken fingers.
Yeah.
With duck sauce.
They'd let anybody in.
To me, it feels like there are a few things more weirdly Woonsocket than this kind of standard Chinese restaurant that's also a premier jazz club.
Yep. It's so, so strange. Also, like the bar in Chan's is weird in that it's very brightly lit, like you're in an office building.
Yeah, and they serve a lot of like tiki drinks too.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really a tiki restaurant, but you can get like kind of a blue zombie there.
Yeah, they've got all that stuff.
It's a very weird, weird place.
It's a place to see and to be seen, I guess. And so crank up the lights.
And it's a thing I love about Woonsocket.
Yeah, I like that there's so much history in that place. And also, it's just so weird because what a weird city. So, all right, Chan's. I like that that was a match. Chan's. All right, let's go back to you then, Kevin. How about Woonsocket number 3?
I also have a culinary establishment here. I have Ye Olde English Fish and Chips.
Yes.
Rhode Island is not so much these days, but traditionally Rhode Island is remarkably Catholic. There are, I believe when I was growing up, it was 80% Catholic, which is just a very difficult number to wrap my head around. And
this is a match, by the way, Kevin.
Oh, how could it not be? What number did you have it as?
I believe this was my number 3. Wait a minute. Yes, number 3 on my list was Ye Olde English Fish and Chips.
A tie, of course. But yeah, so Catholics traditionally don't eat meat on Fridays. So they would eat fish. So Ye Olde English Fish and Chip would do a booming business, especially during Lent.
Yep.
People would go and get their fried fish and their pickle and their chips. And now I never really trucked with any of that, but I was on board for the fish and the chips and the pickles. And I would go there as often as I could to enjoy the food, which I thought was actually great. Like the food at Chan's, I would not recommend to someone, but I would recommend someone who enjoys fried fish to go to Ye Olde English Fish and Chip. It's fantastic.
It's really good. And yeah, I remember those Lent Friday nights because Woonsocket, super Catholic. There's literally a church on practically every corner. That city is lousy with churches. It's crazy. And yeah, Friday nights during Lent, I remember that takeout counter area just being crammed full of people. I remember just packed in like you're on a crowded subway car in Tokyo.
You think waiting in line to get into a panel at Dragon Con is bad. Go to Ye Olde English Fish and Chip on a Friday during Lent.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember that as well. And then even on a regular night, let's say you just wanted to go there to eat in their dining room, that was like a weird process. Like you would break up your party. You'd have to have one person in the food line and then somebody else would be in the table line. And then you'd somehow have to magically meet up again. I remember a very weird process involved in the
it was tough.
Being seated.
You have to fight to survive on the Planet of the Apes. And
yes.
When you're going to Ye Olde English Fish and Chip, it's pretty similar.
You could get a table with no food or vice versa, but there was really an art to getting both your food and somewhere to eat your food.
So worth it.
Oh, it's great.
They wrap the fish and chip up in newspaper too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're old school. And yeah, just the big crazy plate of deep fried junk. Just delicious.
This is more positive press that the city of Woonsocket has had than at any point in human history, I think.
Yeah, we're really building it up more than it deserves. And anybody that actually goes is going to be so hugely disappointed in Woonsocket. But but we do like the Chinese food and the fish and chips. Yes. All right. Anyway, fish and chips, we highly recommend the fish and chip place right in the middle of Woonsocket, kind of right across from the waterfall, right? From the Thunder Mist is right there.
Yeah. There's no jazz there, but I do think if you're in Woonsocket and you're like, I want to get something to eat, I'm a little peckish, I would go there.
Yeah. All right. Good pick. So that was your number three. That was my number three. Now two, we already covered your number two, right?
Correct. Which was Chan's.
The match for Chan's. So that means, are we throwing back to me?
I don't know how this works as well as you do. So I think
I'm so confused. Somebody should have been writing this down. I think we're back to number two for me. And well, you know, just to get off of restaurants for a moment at least, how about the movie theater going experience in Woonsocket? And there were a couple of options. I guess we can roll these all into one pick, but there's the Stadium Theater, of course, which was like the old-timey, classic era old theater in the middle of the city. And then out on the outskirts of the city, there was Cinema 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I went to Cinema 1, 2, 3, and 4 more when I was younger.
Yeah.
The stadium, when they brought the stadium back as kind of a performance venue.
Right.
I know it more as that. I didn't go to movies there.
Oh, man, I did.
Yeah. But unless you count when my friend Dave Betancourt premiered his Rocky Point documentary, You Must Be This Tall, to a massive sold-out crowd at the Stadium Theater, which was like a really fun night.
I think that was one of many cases where you and I were at the same event, but years before we actually met.
I think so. And that was, what a great night that was at the Stadium Theater.
Yes, absolutely. That was the premiere of, David's documentary about Rocky Point, which was the legendary Rhode Island amusement park. Yeah, that was the new life that the Stadium Theater has enjoyed in recent years. But that's an old theater. I don't know how old it is, but it's, you know, probably early 20th century or so, I would guess.
Yeah, one of these classic movie houses.
Yeah, and beautiful in its day. And I was going there in the 70s and 80s, and it was just a movie theater at that point. And it had fallen on hard times. It was sorry looking. I saw Rocky there, I believe, when I was a little kid. Raiders of the Lost Ark. First time I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark was at the stadium. Which was, you know, incredible, of course. And a few years after that, I think the last time I went to the stadium, back when it was just a movie theater, it was a double feature. They were showing Beverly Hills Cop 2 and Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Oh, man, you must have laughed like a king that night.
That was a rough night of cinema. I remember literally the seats were ripped apart. Like, it was shabby and sorry looking inside. And then at some point, it's been fully restored, and now it's like this beautiful historic theater where they do mostly concerts and special events and things.
Yeah, I think that was sort of tied up with the same revitalization campaign that brought about the Museum of Work and Culture. And I think you see that a lot around New England, where these kind of older classic movie houses have sort of been refurbished and are more like performing arts venues now. I think like the Regent Theater in Arlington would be another example. The Chevalier Theater in Medford.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, back in the day, just every town, every city had at least one or probably several beautiful theaters like this. And then most of them were just bulldozed over the years because nobody appreciated them by like the 60s, 70s, and they just would take a wrecking ball to them. And they were replaced by these hideous abominations of movie theaters, such as Cinema 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. But now these theaters have been revitalized, and if you want to go see Forever Plaid, you can do that at these theaters now.
I saw Richard Marx at the Stadium Theater just a few years ago.
Holy cow. Did you hold on to the night?
Yeah, I'm still holding on to that night. It was maybe the most beautiful night of my life. I mean, Richard Marx in one socket, you know, that was just ultimate 80s experience. But Cinema 1-2-3, meanwhile, that's what, like in the 70s, 60s, 70s, they were building these movie theaters that were just like cement bunkers built on a budget of like $75.
That's where a lot of my young movie going took place.
Yeah, Cinema 1-2-3, which was kind of outside the downtown area, but big shopping plaza. Cinema 1-2-3 was sort of like the basement level of a department store. McCarthy's department store was part of that big shopping center. And do you remember the hill that was there?
Yeah, it was.
There was like a green asphalt hill that led from the department store down to the movie theater.
That wasn't near Child World, too, was it?
Yeah, it was right along that stretch. Cinema 1-2-3 was one building, like the basement of that department store, and just ugly little cinemas inside, and just cheapo discount. They'd get movies like several months after they arrived anywhere else. That was Cinema 1-2-3. And then like a quarter mile down the road was the other big shopping plaza where Child World was the giant toy store. And then Cinema 4 was right next to Child World. So very far apart from Cinema 1-2-3, there was one additional room, Cinema 4, way down the road.
Cinema 4 was like its vestigial tail.
Yes. Yeah, down there by Child World and the Radio Shack. But, oh, man, I mean, I remember seeing Flash Gordon at Cinema 1-2-3, all those early 80s things we would see in Woonsocket.
Even in Woonsocket, people could watch Flash Gordon.
Eventually, yeah, probably played in every other town first, and then end of the line was Cinema 1-2-3 in Woonsocket.
Hot dog. Is it time for my number one?
Let's go to number one, yeah.
Okay, for number one, I don't know if this is a cheat, but I have thrift stores generally.
Oh, I love it. What you got?
Thrift store shopping in Woonsocket when I was a younger person who did a lot of thrift store shopping was the place to be. Their Salvation Army was three stories high. So if you wanted like a couch, if you wanted to look through weird old records, if you wanted to get kind of one of those weird 70s bowling shirts, that was the place to go. There was another place next to it that also had kind of cool, interesting clothes. I have a friend named Noah who is a savant when it comes to finding like cool and interesting clothes at thrift stores. And he was always like, his two places were like, we're going to go to Woonsocket and we're going to go to thrift stores in Woonsocket, or we're going to drive up to Boston and go to Buck a Pound, and we're going to stay up all night drinking coffee and get at Buck a Pound for the 6 a.m. opening so we can jump in and get the best stuff imaginable. So Noah was always like on top of this stuff, but he would always take me to Woonsocket to go thrift store shopping. I do want to give like a quick shout out to Joe's Moldy Oldies.
Yes.
Which is not really a thrift store, but it kind of like dealt in old junk, like records and comic books and like weird old paperbacks. It was like a cool place to look around. Everything was a bit too overpriced for my taste at Joe's Moldy Oldies, but I love the name and I love the stuff in there. I just like to look around.
I was kind of afraid of that place. The name kind of creeped me out. And I was always afraid to go inside. I think we went inside. My mom and I went inside once.
They sold me a monkey's paw.
Yes. No, we were on a mission because Joe, who ran that place, his name was Joe Ferrier. And he was kind of a eccentric character about the city of Woonsocket. And he used to do radio shows. And I think he announced on his radio show that he had a bunch of back issues of his old UFO magazine that he used to publish.
And you heard this and you were like,
yes,
we're going.
So yeah, tires screeching. We went,
yeah.
We were like, old UFO magazines that Joe published in Woonsocket. Yeah, sure. Let's check that out.
Sign me up.
We went down there and, you know, I thought this store might come up in our conversation tonight. I actually pulled them out today. I've got two copies right here of Probe magazine published by Joe in the late 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. These like black and white magazines with like pictures of UFOs on the front. But one of them says spaceship over Rhode Island question mark. It's called Probe, the controversial phenomena magazine.
Joe's really blowing the roof off these things.
Yeah, this was a character. But yeah, you know, I regret that I didn't poke around that store anymore because I was just kind of scared.
Yeah, it seems like they would have some more stuff that would be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'll bet they did. And in fact, when I was a little kid and first started reading comic books and collecting comic books, and I had no idea how you could ever find old comic books. Where am I ever going to find an old comic book around here? And I asked the old lady that ran the little convenience store where I was buying my new comic books. I was like, do you know where you can get old comic books around here? And she told me, she said, well, you know, there's a place called Red's Bookstore in Woonsocket.
Hmm.
And my dad and I went into Red's Bookstore, and this was middle of downtown Woonsocket, but like on a little side street. And it was there for years and years, shabby, scruffy, sorry, scary, dusty little bookstore with this kind of just creepy, disgusted old dude sitting there at the counter. And we went in. I was probably too afraid to speak, so I think my dad must have said, you know, you got comic books? And he just pulled out a stack of comic books and just dropped it on the counter. And he was like, put the ones you want here, put the ones you don't want here.
Oh, wow.
And I just started going through the stack. I picked out like two comic books. One of them was an Aquaman comic and one of them was a Teen Titans comic. And I'd never seen an Aquaman or a Teen Titans comic at that time because they weren't making new comics of Aquaman and Teen Titans. So I was like, wow, look at these treasures. I can't believe I'm holding these. In retrospect, these comics were probably about a year old at the time. Like this is probably like 1979. And these are comics that were published in 1978.
Was the stack mostly like Gold Key?
It was just probably just all mid 1970s junk. And I never went back in there.
Oh, wow.
I remember driving by saying, oh yeah, there's Red's Bookstore. That place was scary, but I got my Aquaman comic.
I didn't find old comic books until kind of the explosion of comic book stores in the 80s.
Yeah.
So where I'd go to like Iron Horse on Hope Street or Starship Excalibur.
Starship Excalibur. That was my first comic shop. That was at downtown Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah. And I would like pester my dad or my aunt to take me to those places. And
sure.
Those places were heaven to me.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have one in Woonsocket. I do remember there was like a comic book store. I don't remember the name of it, but it was kind of on the North Providence Pawtucket border. And I rode my bike there, which was probably like 4 hour bike ride. I rode my bike there and I had gotten like I was really into the X-Men. So I got like some X-Men comics and I went up to the counter and there were these two kind of like, you know, the guy at the counter was probably, you know, in his late teens and his friend. And they were just talking about how lame kids who like the X-Men were. And people talk about gatekeeping and I was like, that's what it must feel like. Cause I felt like the lamest person in the world with my X-Men comics that I just went and I still bought them, but I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm being embarrassed by these two cool guys who work at the comic book store.
Yeah. Woonsocket certainly did not have a comic book shop back in the day to call its own. But you know what it did have, which is surprisingly cool for its time, and I'm surprised it was there, but do you remember that there was like a role-playing game, D&D kind of shop in Woonsocket?
Yeah, I do, I think.
But I don't remember what it was called, but it was a D&D role-playing game kind of shop where you could get like Dragon Magazine and get dice and whatnot.
Oh, wow. I did all of my buying of that stuff at Walden Books.
Oh, yeah, down at the mall, Lincoln Mall, sure.
Go to Walden Books and Music and you know, I know that's off topic, but that's where I'd get my D&D stuff.
That's Lincoln Mall is very Woonsocket adjacent.
No, I was really into the Woonsocket flea market. I thought the flea market was delightful.
All right. Yes.
And I bought a lot of records there where I was really into going and coming up with a stack and just haggling as much as I could to get these kind of like Sarah Vaughan and Peggy Lee records as cheaply as I could.
Sure.
Because that was what I was into. My best thrift store find in Woonsocket from a record buying standpoint was what I believe is a complete collection of 70s Japanese singles by Pink Lady.
Oh.
Not the American records. Like Someone had the Japanese 45s. From Pink Lady, like there was a whole bin of them and my head nearly exploded. I was so excited.
That is a treasure. I'm going to cry. That's amazing. Pink Lady records made it to Woonsocket.
Like Japanese ones, like, because every so often you'd come across the American one, with the pink cover that would have like the cover of Walk Away Renee on it and stuff. And like, that's a, that's a fine record. Anyone should buy that, but finding the Japanese singles, it blew my mind.
We're talking Pink Lady, the co-hosts of the legendary variety show from 1980, Pink Lady and Jeff, of course.
Yes, they were a Japanese vocal duo who were enormous in Japan.
Yep.
And there was an attempt to bring their popularity to the United States that did not succeed as well as they had hoped.
It was a Sid and Marty Krofft produced primetime variety TV show hosted by two Japanese women who could not speak English.
One might say it was the Woonsocket of primetime variety shows.
It was the Woonsocket of variety shows. Yes, Pink Lady and Jeff. We loved it. That's a fantastic thrift store find. Yeah, I regret that I didn't haunt the thrift stores of Woonsocket more back in the day. I was just too frightened.
It was the place to be.
All right, are we up to number one for me then?
Yes.
All right, number one, it's just sort of a general neighborhood thing, but I was thinking back to my little junior high school was down on the outskirts of what they called the social neighborhood of Woonsocket. There was a street called Social Street, and that whole kind of area was just called Social. And we would walk from my creepy little junior high school. We would often walk after school. It was a short walk to the library.
You were full of Woonsocket history from your junior high school.
Yes. Ever go to the Woonsocket Public Library?
I have been there, yes.
Yeah. Not one of the world's great libraries.
No, it wouldn't be on my list. It's not on my 4.5 list, I would say.
But it was so close to the school that we would go there all the time, you know, for our stupid homework projects. Because I know when you'd go inside, I remember if you go up to the reference desk, if you wanted to get a magazine, there'd be a list of like, here's the magazines that we have in our periodical file. And it'd say like Newsweek from, you know, January 1968 through September 1974, or whatever. And you'd write down on a little card, here's the magazines that I want based off this list of what you have here. And then you'd hand it to a girl and she'd go up these stairs that regular humans were not allowed to go up. And then she'd come back down and she would have, for every 10 magazines you requested, she might have one. She'd be like, well, here's what we have. Because the list was a lie. They barely had any actual magazines there. It was fantastic.
I think when I was in like sixth grade, my criteria for what made a good library was based entirely on how many Alan Dean Foster books they had in the stacks.
I remember that the table near the reference area where we'd just be trying to do our homework, there was like half a shelf of books that was always flopped over. And among those books, there was a book called Gary Coleman, Medical Miracle. Some sort of a nonfiction book about Gary Coleman.
Is Gary Coleman a medical miracle?
He was a medical miracle, according to the Woonsocket Public Library. Yes, but it's actually a miracle. It's a medical miracle that we ever made it to the library, because halfway between my junior high school and the library was this little donut shop called Social Donut. Because again, this was the social neighborhood of Woonsocket. Mm-hmm. And inside Social Donut, they had Donkey Kong Jr.
And so you would just stop and...
That was a hard stop on the way to the library, yeah. Yes.
But you would like run out of quarters eventually.
Then we'd have to hang our heads and go to the library.
Guess it's time to read.
Donkey Kong Jr. was outstanding.
Okay, you get Donkey Kong Jr. and maybe like a cruller. Because it's French Canadian.
Yeah, I don't think we ever actually bought any donuts at Social Donut. We would just go straight to the Donkey Kong Jr. machine. There's the other video game I specifically remember from Woonsocket is over at the Pizza Hut. They had the tabletop Pac-Man machine.
I think every Pizza Hut came outfitted with that particular tabletop Pac-Man machine.
They built the restaurant around Pac-Man. Yes. And it worked.
It was drawn up by the architect. And here's where the Pac-Man machine goes.
Yep. I drove by there this week. The Pizza Hut, the building is still there. It's closed, but the Pizza Hut shaped building is still sitting there. And as far as I know, I could crowbar my way in and still play some Pac-Man today.
I know there are places called Pizza Hut out in the world today. Usually they're combined with like a Taco Bell and a KFC.
Yeah.
But that to me is not Pizza Hut.
That's not Pizza Hut. You need the old hut shaped building.
I need a hut shaped building. I need glasses filled with crushed ice and cold soda. I need a sit-down Pac-Man machine. It's just like that to me is, and the pizza, like anyone I know who's a pizza snob would not want to eat this pizza, but I was into it. It's like a Friday night and my parents, you know, don't want to deal with making dinner. So we get in the station wagon and we go to Pizza Hut and oh, it was great.
That was the greatest thing in the world. I can throw out a quick recommendation to another podcast, actually. There's a podcast called The Retroist. And earlier this year, they did an episode about Pizza Hut. It's excellent. Learn the whole history of the company. So check that out, The Retroist Pizza Hut episode. But I digress. So I guess my number one pick is just the walk to the library, but specifically stopping for Donkey Kong Jr.
You're like Garrison Keillor talking about Wobegon.
I just started wandering all over Woonsocket at my number one position. Yes. So let's jump back over to you, Kevin. Are we at the top of your list, I think? Number one half?
This is number one half.
Wow.
And could it be anything else? Autumn Fest.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's appropriate that we're doing this show for October because, yeah.
It's because it's coming up. Autumn Fest, I believe, would be maybe the weekend after this comes out.
Yeah, it's whenever it's Indigenous Peoples Weekend is when Woonsocket throws Autumn Fest every year. And that's like the big event of Woonsocket. It's all they have. They're so proud. They're so obsessed with Autumn Fest, even though it's kind of stupid.
I know you had said earlier that Chans was the place to see and be seen, but I feel that Autumn Fest was the place to see and be seen. If you go to Autumn Fest, you take the wander around Social Ocean, grab a delicious dynamite or meat pie from the CYO booth, get yourself a roach clip feather earring and a mirror for the band Britney Fox or Vixen painted on it. Watch an oldies cover band, then ride a goddamn Ferris wheel. It's amazing. It rains every year at Autumn Fest.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. That's guaranteed rain. Guaranteed rainy weekend. Just schedule Autumn Fest.
I love that it rains every year at Autumn Fest. And then the Woonsocket Call runs the exact same story after it that says, even though it rained, the people of Woonsocket came together. And it was the best Autumn Fest ever.
Newspaper reporters are so excited when any event has rain because, yeah, that's the headline. It did. The rain didn't dampen their spirits. At Autumn Fest.
Like when I worked in a newsroom, we would have obituaries for like the Pope and the president just on file. So they'd be ready to go if something happened.
Sure.
And I feel like the Woonsocket Call has on file the Autumn Fest story for when it rains.
So yeah, it would kind of, Autumn Fest takes over the city. And yeah, it's just a bunch of booths selling crafts and food and junk. And there's music and there's a parade. There's a giant parade every year. I remember standing there like an idiot on the street corner watching the Autumn Fest parade. What was I thinking?
I loved Autumn Fest. Like I would go, I would just run into everyone you knew.
Yep.
Get some delicious food that was terrible for you, but you're 14 years old, so you don't care. And like you're, you know, your parents drop you off. So you're like it's freedom to do whatever you want. You don't have to watch that karate demonstration if you want to. You can hide behind the bushes and make out with a girl. There's all kinds of things you could do at Autumn Fest.
Wow. You were having a way better Autumn Fest than I ever did.
I feel like Autumn Fest is everything great and ridiculous about Woonsocket. Nay, it is everything great and ridiculous about America that can be found at Woonsocket Autumn Fest.
And they're still doing it. When was the last time you actually went to an Autumn Fest?
My wife refuses to go, so it's been some time.
Yeah, she's right.
She's always like, there's other things we could be doing this weekend. Especially now that we have young children.
We could literally do anything else.
Yes, because I'm always like, Autumn Fest. So it's been a few years. I think the last time I went to Woonsocket Autumn Fest was probably like 2003, 2004.
Oh, wow. See, that's like modern times by my scale, because I have not been there since the 80s.
And if you're in Rhode Island and you have like the public, the Interconnect public access.
Yes.
Like sometimes they'll just run a feed of Autumn Fest.
Too. Oh, yeah. Yes. I do remember, even though it's been decades since I went to Autumn Fest, in slightly more recent years, I did catch it on like a local cable channel. They would just have a camera trained on a stage where nothing is happening.
Oh, my God.
Like 3 hours from now, a polka band is going to be on this stage. But meanwhile, just watch this live shot of the empty stage, and occasionally you can see like the top of a guy's hat walk by in front of the camera.
Did you ever live in Rhode Island?
Never.
So you never get a sense of.
I would always sneak across the border from Massachusetts to visit Rhode Island, but on the Massachusetts border towns, we did get Rhode Island cable.
Oh, okay.
We did get plenty of the weird Rhode Island cable access shows.
Thank goodness, because I was worried for a second that you missed like some of the best and craziest public access television programming in the history of the world.
I saw all of it.
I was obsessed with Rhode Island public access television.
You and me both. Man, that could be a whole other show sometime.
It could be. Oh, man. Did you ever see Daphne's Madhouse?
Yes, I've seen Daphne's Madhouse.
Daphne's Madhouse is amazing.
This was a crazy woman in a Star Trek uniform discussing Star Trek.
Can she take calls? But the only people who would call were people who were 12-year-old kids who were messing with her. So she'd take the call and she had a really thick Rhode Island accent. She'd be like, Cola, are you there? And then the kid would be like, hey, Daphne, you're a freak. And then she'd lose her mind on the air and scream at the phone.
And she was constantly feuding with another Star Trek show on cable, on Rhode Island cable access.
Yes, it's.
There was another show.
I have a tape of Daphne's Madhouse.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry about that tangent, but I was just like,
that's a fantastic tangent, because I was about to mention Daphne's Madhouse to you and you beat me to it. Because that's maybe the ultimate in crazy Rhode Island cable access.
That was definitely the pinnacle. There were other shows, but Daphne's Madhouse was where it all came together.
She was dressed as Kira from Deep Space Nine, I believe.
Yes.
I'm sure glad I remember that. Man, the super important things I have filed away in my brain.
And her husband did a public access show about the band Kiss.
I remember the Kiss show. I didn't know that that was Daphne's husband.
I was really impressed when the Kiss show was parodied on The Family Guy.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, your Family Guy does have Rhode Island roots, of course. Yes. That's cool. All right. I guess we better steer ourselves back to actual Woonsocket, because we've got to hit the top of my list now. And I'm going back to the finest in Woonsocket restaurants, and the most important restaurant in Woonsocket for me, historically, is New York Lunch.
That is a great pick.
So New York Lunch, which my friends and I, we never called it New York Lunch. We always just called it the Wiener Place. It was always, let's go to the Wiener Place.
I love New York System hot wieners, which are weirdly something you can only get in Rhode Island.
Yes, this is a Rhode Island thing. They call them New York wieners. They call them Coney Island hot dogs, Coney Island wieners. But as far as I can determine, they are not available in New York or Coney Island specifically. It's a Rhode Island thing.
And they're basically like extremely greasy hot dogs with like meat sauce and celery salt and mustard.
The classic ingredients are, you start with a weird little reddish orange hot dog on a steamed bun. You throw on a layer of brown mustard, then the meat sauce. It's not chili. It's a mysterious meat sauce. That goes on next. Then chopped onions over that. A lot of chopped onions, like way more than anyone should ever have in one sitting. That goes over the meat sauce. And then you shake celery salt over the top of the whole thing.
If you're real lucky, the person preparing these like puts the wieners like up his arm too.
Well, yeah, that's the move, is in the window, in the front window of this place, the Wiener Place was called New York Lunch. The guy working the grill is right in the front window making all the wieners. And yeah, as he assembles the dogs, he puts the dogs in the buns and then lines up the dogs. Like he would put a dozen of them in a line up his arm and hold them on his arm and then start applying all the toppings.
It's amazing. You wash that down with a delicious coffee milk.
Kevin, I'm drinking a coffee milk right now.
Get out of the city, Cousin Larry.
In honor of our Woonsocket-themed episode tonight, normally we drink coffee on the Flopcast, but tonight I'm going with coffee milk. That's a weird Rhode Island beverage. In Rhode Island, they drink coffee milk, and you don't see a lot of it anywhere else. It's like chocolate milk, but it's coffee milk. It's milk mixed with a coffee syrup.
Yeah, kind of like a coffee ice cream.
Yeah, I've got a glass of coffee milk here right now. I always keep a bottle of coffee syrup on reserve for emergencies such as this.
That seems like the right move. I'm too far up into Massachusetts to have some coffee syrup handy. They did just open a Dell's in my town.
There you go. Rhode Island's own Dell's frozen lemonade. Yes.
The first Boston area Dell's. I'm very excited. I've gone there 17 times.
But yeah, you'd get wieners and coffee milk to drink alongside your wieners, even though they really don't go together, but somehow it did. We didn't ask any questions. We would just get wieners and coffee milk. And that was the standard classic wiener. It's mustard, mysterious meat sauce, onions, celery salt on a weird little hot dog. And we would just eat dozens of them.
Yeah. And I believe the original wiener place is on Smith Street in Providence. And there are a few others in Rhode Island. The one, like, everyone swears by the Onlyville one. I really like the Smith Street one. But New York Lunch is a fantastic wiener place.
Yeah, that was the ultimate wiener place of my youth. I know there's a bunch around Providence and other spots around Rhode Island. But yeah, for me, this was the ultimate place. And they'd be open super late on the weekends. So they'd be open until 2 in the morning. So we'd be in there, my goofy friends and I, crazy late. For a while, we had a tradition the night before Thanksgiving. We would go to the wiener place late. And like, we would be there. The idea was we would ring in the holidays at the wiener place. Like, we would make a point of being there at midnight as Wednesday turned into Thanksgiving Day for no good reason. And we did that for years.
To give thanks for the existence of these delicious wieners.
This bounty of freaky Rhode Island hot dogs. And this was an ancient restaurant. Again, it was there since the early 1900s. And is still there today. I drove by it last week. I have not been in the wiener place in many years because I don't eat meat anymore. I don't fall within their customer base anymore.
They don't have a vegan option?
I don't think they do vegan wieners. I wish they would. I should go in there sometime and just get a big stupid thing of French fries, I guess, because we would often get the fries to go along with the wieners as well. But what's weird is that there's a full menu in there. Like, they make other stuff, theoretically, but I've never seen anybody order anything else.
Maybe if people go with, like, I mean, my dad would take me to get wieners and I would just get the wieners. But
yeah,
I could see if I went with my kids, like, one of them would be like, I want chicken fingers, I bet.
Yeah, they've got stuff in there. Like, my friends and I would be looking up at the menu, would be up on the wall over the booths, just in puzzlement. Like, who is anybody? What is that? And up on the menu, there was something called the steak dinner. It'd say like steak dinner, $5.95, something like that. And then right under it, steak special, $5.92. And we would, something like that. The prices were very close. And we would spend hours just wondering, what's the steak dinner? What's the steak special? What's the difference?
I'm not going to risk almost $6 to find out.
Yeah. We're not going to risk it. We're not going to ask the waitress. We're just going to wonder. And most importantly, who would come in here and order a steak? Just baffling. It was just a super scruffy, ancient place with just the bad wood paneling on the walls, and everything in there looked like it had been sitting there for 75 years. They actually, about 15 years ago or so, they refurbished the whole place, and it's beautiful inside now, and everything's all shiny and silver, like a retro diner kind of look. It looks a lot nicer now, but it almost looked a little too nice. Like, I miss the shabbiness of it all.
Yeah, sometimes you want those places preserved in amber.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I was so excited a couple of years ago, and I went to the Papagino's at the Lincoln Mall, and it was exactly as I remembered it. And it closed like last year, and I was distraught because it made me so happy to know that this place was there, still with like the same jukebox where we would play the Spanish version of I'm Too Sexy 15 times in a row to annoy the other customers.
All right. We have to do a Rhode Island cable access episode sometime, and we have to do a Lincoln Mall episode sometime.
I think both of those would be good. I worked at the Lincoln Mall, so I have some inside scoops.
Okay, Lincoln Mall episode coming. But meanwhile, yeah, the wiener place. The meat eaters among you, go to Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Go to New York Lunch. I don't know if the guy still puts the wieners up his arm the way he used to, or if the Board of Health finally cracked down on that.
That sort of behavior is frowned upon these days. I want someone to do a culinary tour of Woonsocket and report back. I want them to go to fish and chips and Chan's and the wiener place. I want them to make a weekend out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe go see something at the stadium, buy some bell-bottom pants at the thrift store and a Ferranti and Tesher record. take in some work and culture at the museum and report back.
I mean, go during Autumn Fest. It's like next week.
It's hard because if you're at Autumn Fest, you're eating Autumn Fest food.
That's a good point. It's all fried dough.
Like you're not going to leave Autumn Fest to get food when you're like, oh, I can go to one of these vendors and clog my arteries there.
All right. Well, I don't think we're going to top the Wiener Place. So that's a pretty solid cap on this look at the bizarre, silly stuff from back in the day in Woonsocket. Again, we barely scratched the surface of this weird city.
I feel like you have to go and find out for yourself. We can only give you the shadow of the cave drawing.
But there it is. That was fun, you know. As we wrap up, you're doing I was about to say you do a podcast, but you do a couple of podcasts these days.
Yeah, I'm doing two podcasts that kind of alternate every other week. The first is the one I mentioned last time I was on here, Gleaming the Tube, which is about movies that feature skateboarding. And that's back for season two, which I think you're going to be on the next episode that's coming out.
I think the plan is, yes, I will be making a guest appearance on Gleaming the Tube very soon. Looking forward to that.
So we're going to not talk about a movie. We're going to talk about a TV show. We're going to talk about the Wonder Woman, the 70s Wonder Woman episode where Diana rides a skateboard. And then I'm also doing a podcast about the classic 80s detective program Moonlighting, called Let's Get Chatty About David and Maddie, which we're mainly doing because we came up with that dumb name and we're like, well, we have to do the podcast now. So we're going through every episode of that show, which is a show like none. I'm doing it with my friends Liam and Mike, who are both from Woonsocket. So it ties into the episode. None of us have watched this show since we were in fifth grade. And so we're kind of revisiting it. And some of us like it and some of us don't.
Yeah, I have not seen Moonlighting since the 80s, but I have been enjoying the podcast.
Oh, that's great. Well, Moonlighting is streaming nowhere and long out of print on DVD, so it's very difficult to find. So we're like, let's do a podcast about that.
Well, yeah, we don't need the show on DVD or streaming because we have your show.
Fantastic. And then when we start a podcast about public access television, that'll...
That'll be good. Anyway, as we wrap up, Kevin, man, this was fun. I'm glad you could come and fill in for Cornflake this week. Cornflake will be back next week, of course, and we're going to have you back on the show again at some point because we have a lot more silly stuff like this to discuss, obviously.
It was really fun to talk about one of my favorite cities in America, Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Should we sing My Home is in Woonsocket now at the end of the show?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not is correct. You know the song, though?
I don't.
Well, are you in for a treat? A couple of teachers from our high school were commissioned to write a song in celebration of Woonsocket. This was back in the late 80s, and they did. And it was recorded, and it was sold to the people of Woonsocket. And it's astonishing. I don't know if it's around online anywhere. I mean, I have my own secret private copy of it, of course, which I play every day. Every day I stand, I face Woonsocket, I salute, and I play the song, My Home is in Woonsocket. But I have a lot of personal problems. Anyway, that was our Woonsocket episode. Kids, Cornflake always does this part, but I'll see if I can fill in. I'm just going to do the easy part and say our website is flopcast.net and everything else is there. All the links to our Facebook and Twitter and all that fun stuff. Meanwhile, everybody, you know, be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
My home is in Woonsocket.
Like podcasts?
Then you're gonna hate Thunder Talk.
Tasteless subject matter.
Mature humor.
Contempt for our co-hosts.
Unapologetic social views.
Edgy music.
And total irreverence for the nerd junk we love.
Are all reasons why
no one.
No one.
No one should listen to Thunder Talk.
Find us on the ESO Network.
And all podcasting platforms.
Or don't.
Whatever.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science
and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Okay, here's the secret after show. Kevin, you're still here for the secret after show. Hello.
I hung on through those promos, and now I'm here. We made a gang.
We learned about ESO podcasts. We learned about getting vaccinated, and now we're ready for a little more bonus Woonsocket talk. You know, one thing, a weird Woonsocket memory that occurred to me? There was a guy. There were so many weird characters just lurking around Woonsocket, and there was a guy that we called the Toast Man.
I don't remember the Toast Man.
We would see him down in the social neighborhood of Woonsocket. In social, there was a Burger King there. We'd go into that Burger King sometime around breakfast time in the morning, you know, for a quality Burger King breakfast, French toast sticks and whatnot. Remember the French toast sticks?
At Burger King? Oh, absolutely. It was the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Well, that was French toast, but apparently they had like a secret menu because you could also get regular toast. Because guess who got regular toast there? That'd be the Toast Man. There was a guy, this weird-looking old guy. He had a hat. He had a trench coat. And he'd be sitting in Burger King at breakfast time with a big, freakishly tall stack of toast.
Do you think he only ordered it because it was off-menu and he felt special?
He knew the special off-menu toast. Yeah, and they would toast like it was like a loaf's worth of toast, just a crazy cartoonish stack of toast, and there's the Toast Man.
Like Snoopy in the Thanksgiving special.
Yes, we were obviously too afraid to approach the Toast Man or try to figure out what was going on, so we would just kind of see him from afar, from across the restaurant. You know, look at that, there's the Toast Man. But in Woonsocket, blends right in. Of course there's a Toast Man.
He wouldn't thrive in any other part of Rhode Island.
He was in his place.
He knew the place to be was in Woonsocket. My thing was like kind of Woonsocket adjacent. Like it's technically in North Smithfield, so I didn't want to put it in the 4.5 list.
That's fine. That's the next town over.
I did want to give a mention to the Beef Barn, which is right on the border, because I love the Beef Barn. It's since moved deeper into North Smithfield, so it's even more off of what this could be. But the Beef Barn is like a weird looking barn where you go and you can get a $3 roast beef sandwich. And my favorite thing was you could either eat in like the main area, you could also eat in a chicken coop surrounded by plastic chickens, which was what I would do every single time.
It was literally a barn of beef.
Yes. I love the Beef Barn.
It was incredible. So they have a location deeper into North Smithfield now? I was not aware of this.
They've moved the Beef Barn, so it's no longer where it was, and they've moved it deeper into North Smithfield.
Okay, because they have another location also in Bellingham, Massachusetts, just over the border from Woonsocket. There's another Beef Barn.
Woonsocket is bordered on either side by Beef's Barns.
Yes, there's a Beef Barn where it used to be a pizza place called Twins Pizza, which made very weird pizza. And now that's a Beef Barn.
They saw how the North Smithfield Beef Barn was doing, and they said, we got to get some of this action. I wonder if that one has a chicken coop.
I hope so. I should investigate further. But in the classic location of the Beef Barn, right there on the North Smithfield Woonsocket border, for a while there was also the Coffee and Cream.
Yes.
Which was like a late night breakfast place. And it was crazy because they were open ridiculously late. They'd be open on the weekends until 3-4 in the morning, something like that, like crazy late. And so everybody there, super drunk.
Yes, I would go there a lot after seeing like crazy punk rock shows.
Yeah, it was everybody, the bars are closed, the clubs are closed, let's go to the Coffee and Cream. And so it was just a loud, obnoxious, wild crowd eating omelets. I mean, there was a police detail there. There was a policeman working the door just because the crowd could get so out of control sometimes. And he was like doing double duty. Sometimes he'd be a combination policeman slash hostess because he would also start. They were so busy, there'd be a line out the door and they'd be understaffed. And so the police officer would be like looking around the restaurant and then seating people. He'd be like, okay, a booth just opened. You guys can go in.
Well, to serve and protect.
It was mostly serving.
Yes.
At the coffee and cream to the drunks of Rhode Island.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.